So was it good to start back to school? Yeah, you like it? Could reconnect some friends and new friends maybe? Not yet, huh? So what are you doing with yourself now? Are you working?
Trying to help Tim, trying not to be lazy.
Well, don't be lazy. Yeah, we can't be lazy. Oh. Okay, well, before we get started, let's go ahead and open in prayer. Can you go ahead and open us in prayer, Jesse?
Sure.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We're grateful for everyone to be able to be here, and we pray that we'll be able to get something out of today's lesson. And we pray that once the lesson is over, we'll be able to get home safe. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
All right.
You're so quiet most of the time, I have to ask you to pray so I can hear your voice. So, yeah, I bet you got a good singing voice. You alto?
I'm a soprano.
Soprano? Yeah.
Oh, my singing voice. Tim caught me singing in the shower.
Uh-oh. I was talking to my son yesterday, day before yesterday, with my two grandsons. Silas is just about to turn 9. And Ezra is 6, and they, Silas was talking about how he's in choir now. You know, he's 8 years old, going to be 9 in December, and he was talking about how he likes to sing, and Kenny, my son, said, well, yeah, I hear him singing in the bathroom all the time. He says, yeah, I like to sing when I go poo. Okay, that's a little bit too much information. Oh,
from a young kid, yeah.
Yeah, Anyway.
It happens for the first time. Tim actually caught me singing in the shower.
Yeah.
Nobody has caught me once. Until the very end, until Tim walked by. Yeah. Said, oh, you have a good singing voice.
It sounds better when you're in the shower. You've got the right acoustics. Okay, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and this is about our place, you know, as far as how we are supposed to minister and what our service is to the Lord, and how we're supposed to serve. And, you know, I'm going to start out actually with Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Find that for me, Steve. I thought it was really cool in here when I first came in, but I'm sweating actually. It's humid in here.
Chapter 28, verses what?
Verses 19 and 20.
Go there before and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And
lo,
I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
And that's you know, that's commonly called the Great Commission, where, you know, that's where it's saying it doesn't matter where we are in our Christian walk, we are all have that same commission, that same job, or the same contract, or the same part of our lives where God wants us to serve. He wants us to go out and make disciples. He wants us to share the gospel in the name of Christ. And, you know, I had, a lot of times when I've read this 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I've thought about, okay, well, that's talking about missionaries or something, but actually it applies to all of us as Christians, as people who love Christ and want to follow Christ. We are supposed to follow him and do his will. So I'm going to start out reading in chapter 2. It says, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." And, you know, and when he says it was not in vain, he's talking about, you know, Paul is talking about, says, this has been fruitful. It was a good thing that we came here. We didn't come here and just waste our time. We're not supposed to waste our time. You know, when we are out in the world, wherever we do, whatever part of our life is, whether it be going to school or going to the grocery store or going to an event or something, we are to be representatives of Christ, as in the Great Commission there. And, you know, the church in Thessalonia, I think that's how you pronounce it, was doing pretty good. You know, they had some issues and stuff, from the past area before Paul came and brought the gospel there. But, you know, they were doing okay, and he came and sent these letters to try to give them a little bit more training, a little bit more instruction. So we can look at that in the same way ourselves, as this is a way for us to get a little more instruction in what God wants us to do and how he wants us to act. And in verse 2 it says, "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." So, and why he's referring there, you know, you guys have been in the New Testament here quite a bit lately, and you know, like in the letters, he's talking about constantly about how they're being run out of town somewhere, they've been beaten, they've been stoned, there's been a lot of conflict, but despite the conflict, despite the pressure, they are still out here preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel. And the reason why that is shared with us over and over again is so that we can use Paul and the other apostles and stuff as a example of how to live. We want to use Christ as our, you know, example of how to live. And Paul was another example of how Christ lived, as far as what he was teaching and to follow the word and to do the gospel. Jesse, can you look up 1 Peter 4:10 and 11?
Received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, very nice. So, again, we're continuing with the theme here of where all of us are called to serve. Whether it be as a clerk at Circle K, a homemaker, a father taking care of his family, a leader in our community, a leader in our church, we all have that same instruction from Christ to serve God and to share his word and to do things the way God would have us to take and do them. In verse 4, it's saying, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. So they came meekly, but they weren't, they didn't mince their words. They just got out there and told the truth, and and the truth is what pleases God. It's like they talk about out in the world today, there's the political correctness, and if somebody wants, a guy wants to be addressed as a she, or a she wants to be addressed as a he, we're supposed to politically correct, please men, by referring to them the way they want to be referred. But according to what God is saying, we're not supposed to be pleasing them. We're supposed to be pleasing God. And for us to treat that person, and I'm just using that as one example, as a transgender person, as a sex other than what they really are, we're not really pleasing God when we do that. We're really being dishonest. If some guy comes to me and says, well, I'm actually a woman now, and my name is Sally, and I say, okay, well, I will call you Sally if that's what you want to be called, but I know what sex you were assigned. And in all honesty, in my position as a sheriff's deputy, I could probably get in trouble for that, because we're supposed to respect whatever they do, but I have to please God. God comes first in my life, and I have to, and I can't lie. If I say, okay, yeah, you're a girl, well, I just told a lie, didn't I? God's not pleased with lies. And that's some really hard stuff for us to deal with in today's world, is to deal with, and that's just one example. There's things and stuff politically where the politics and stuff of saying, well, we want to allow the borders to be open and let all, let anybody that wants to come in, and we're going, when we work through the Old Testament in particular, you see many places where it talks about how godly people, godly leaders went out and protected their countries. They protected their people by shutting down the borders or by, having boundaries. And as Christians, we need to have boundaries. And boundaries mean we're pleasing God and following His word. Stephen, can you look up 2 Corinthians 7, 2 through 4? Back in the very, back in the back. Here, you want me to read it off of my phone?
Yeah, that would be better.
Okay. Second Corinthians 7, 2 through 4.
Make room for us in your heart. We have wronged no one, we have corrupted no one, we have exploded no one. I do not say this to condemn you. I have said before that You have such a place in our hearts that we would live our or die with you. I have spoken to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged in our troubles. My joy knows two bounds.
Okay. Again, it's, you know, talking about how and we go and we minister to people, we don't take advantage of them. We don't, we're not going to take and expect favors back because we're ministering to somebody. We're ministering out of love. And, you know, we move into the next verse there. In verse 7, it says, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." So, and mothers that need to be honest and want to be honest with their children in order to be doing God's will and teaching them properly, that they, you know, they are going to take and correct them gently in general. And that's the same way, you know, like say when I was talking about, okay, some guy comes to me and says, "Well, I'm a girl now, I won't be called Sally." Well, you know, gently means I'm not going to take and say, "No, you idiot, you're a guy. Can't do that. That's not gentle, right?" But we can say, you know, "I respect your desire to be called Sally, but my belief," we need to base it on our Christian walk and our relationship with Christ. And my belief as a Christian is I can't lie. And, you know, you want to be called Sally? Sure, I'll treat you like a Sally, but I can't call you a woman. And, you know, we do it in a gentle fashion. That may placate them a little bit. That might make them accept what you're saying. But it might, you know, some of them are so antagonistic and so willing to cause a problem or to create a problem or make a problem out of something that you may reach some adversity that way. But we have to trust God that God is going to protect us, just like he's protected Paul and the other apostles, even though they were beaten and stoned and run out of town and arrested. They still were following God. And God, and Paul, you know, continually gives an example of doing so in a gentle way, like a mother. And okay, I'm gonna look up another one here. We have Isaiah. I'm gonna read Isaiah 66:13. Why is that? That's the last chapter of Isaiah, isn't it? In Isaiah 66:13, it says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." So God is saying that he will treat us with the gentleness of a mother, our mothers, and comforting us when we're in those trials. And we need to have peace in our hearts, knowing that we're going to be comforted in that manner. In verse 8, there's 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says, "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God." And what he's pertaining there to is like, they, when they were there in Thessalonica, they did not expect the church to take care of them. They worked, they made their own way, they found their own, their, you know, Paul was a tent maker, and in, I know it's in Acts somewhere, I wrote it down here, down in Acts 18:3, it talks about how, Paul was a tent maker, and wherever he went, he worked as a tent maker to help support himself and not just depend on the people of the church to take care of him. And I think that we, as Christians, as we go out and reach out, as we minister to other people around us, we need to be self-sufficient. We need to be able to take care of ourselves in order to take care of others. If we can't take care of ourselves, how are we going to be able to take care of other people, right? And again, you look at, in a part of this chapter here, it's talking about mothers and fathers. And mothers and fathers take care of themselves in order to take care of their families. And that's a really great example for us as Christians. We, as Christians, we want to be able to take care of ourselves, see to our needs, and protect our own selves, to keep ourselves in good health mentally and emotionally and spiritually, so that we can attend to the good health of the people around us and help them to grow, just like the mother and a father helps their children to grow. I know Paul, Paul had bad eyesight, is what they believe. You know, he had a hard time writing, hard time seeing. There were times and stuff in some of the letters where he talked about how he wrote in his own hand, but that was rare. Most of the time he had somebody else scribing for him and writing his words because he had trouble seeing. But as a tent maker, he didn't have to take and see little fine detail and stuff. You know, he's got, you know, great big tarps or whatever they're making the tents out of, a big needle and thread and stuff. So that was something he was very well capable of doing to take care of himself. And I kind of think sometimes too, when I think of Paul being a tent maker, what's a tent for? What does a tent do? Is it like a home and a shelter? And it's a shelter, you know, it's shelter to keep the sun off of you and keep the rain off of you and keep the heat off of you, or to keep you warm when it's cold. So I think it's very applicable that Paul, who, as he took care of his flocks, he was a tent maker. He made shelter. Well, his shelter went beyond, you know, his providing shelter for the people, for the Christians, for the churches, went beyond taking care of their physical needs as in building tents, but also he helped shelter them spiritually. And I sometimes think about it, wouldn't it be cool to have been a person who bought and purchased a tent that Paul had made? Paul, the apostle, made this shelter that's protecting my family. And I think that's pretty cool, don't you? You know, a great aspect of who Paul is, or was. And in verse 10, it says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe." And Jesse, can you look up Ephesians 6:4? Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 1:12.
Okay.
I got out of line here, out of order. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 1:12.
rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that the simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and we're abundantly to you, Lord.
Okay. So, how does that fit into you, what we're talking about as far as how ministers? Were you in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians 1:12?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, it's again an example. As Christians, you know, we are to be an example of the world about, you know, because the world that doesn't know Christ, a worldly person who hasn't accepted Christ, the only picture they're going to know of what Christ is like is what they see of him through us and through our lives. And to be witnesses, we're all witnesses. We're witnessing to people just by the way we live and our conduct. And we need to have a clear conscience that our conduct is appropriate and is a good witness and a good example of Christ and of who Christ is in our lives. And when even in we're dealing with our church family, we're still being witnesses to who Christ is, and we're doing it correctly, doing it, you know, a godly way. Yeah, there's ways, so many bad stories or bad feelings stuff out there, people that have gone to a certain church and they don't feel like they were treated right. Those people are, we're not perfect. That's the reason why we need Christ. I mean, we're going to make mistakes and stuff, but we still need to try to, follow our conscience and follow what God says is the right thing for us to do and how to treat the other people. In verse 11, it says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. So we talked about the mother, how the mother comforts, but now we're talking about how a father is supposed to be to his children. And it says, we exhorted. What does exhort mean? I want to make sure I'm right here. I believe it means to build up or to encourage. Yeah, strongly encourage or urge somebody to do something. So whereas a mother's position is to comfort her child, hold their child at rest, that child, and raise that child, and protect that child. The father is kind of more like he's encouraging that child to get out there and to do something. The father may be the one that's like putting the kid on a sled at the top of a really steep hill and says, okay, head down this hill. And mom is going, no, protect my child. But dad is encouraging them to stretch out and to reach out and to do risky stuff in order to grow. And both sides are needed. You need the protection and the comfort, but you also need the exhorting that a father is charged to do biblically, to encourage the children, help the children learn how to take and do more stuff and to be able to reach out and reach their potential. And exhorted and comforted. So the father is supposed to comfort him too. So when they reach the bottom of that hill and that sled, wrecks and rolled over. And the kid was like, oh, my arm hurts. It's like, okay, Father's supposed to comfort him, but in a way to take and help them. Okay, well, you're okay. That was really a good job. Still going to be comforting them, but to continue to encourage them that it's okay to hurt a little bit sometimes because that's the way you grow. And then it says, and charged every one of you. And to charge is to give assignments, to assign responsibility. I'm charging you the responsibility to keep your room clean. I'm charging you with the responsibility to get a job. I'm charging you the responsibility to take care of your schooling and to learn stuff. So that's another part of the responsibility of a father, and that's how we are also supposed to treat our, as Christians, treat people around us. You know, we want to encourage those around us, help them, and to encourage them to stretch out and reach their potential. We want to comfort them when they mess up and they make the mistakes. And, oh, you know, hey, you made a mistake, but you know what, dude? Okay, God can forgive, and you just accept His forgiveness and keep moving forward, keep doing it, keep going. And then help, you know, as part of exhorting them and encouraging them, you're saying, you know, here, take and do this. This will help you. And so we need to have the wisdom as Christians to be able to tell them the right thing to do and to share with them the right way to live. That's biblical. And Stephen, can you read the last verse there for me? 1 Thessalonians 2:12.
Which one?
1 Thessalonians 2:12.
The front or back?
Huh?
Is that going to the front or back?
It's towards the back. Right. It's after Corinthians. And I'll find it right here.
My one was a little bit different. This new one, at least. Because if I look at the table of contents, it's a little bit different now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not used to this Bible yet, huh?
Yeah, I'm not used to it.
Yeah, it can be the same way. 1 Thessalonians. Oops.
It's like you go forward. Try to find it. That one's,
yeah, the pages are
all mixed up.
It's just
they're so thin.
Right after Colossians. Wow, the pages are so thin, it's so easy to skip over it.
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians 2:12. Okay.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
So chapter 3, verse 2?
No, 2:12.
2:12. All right, there. That you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom of glory.
So we walk worthy of God who calls us, and He calls each of us in a different way, according to what your talents are. knows us intimately because he built us. He designed us. He designed our hearts. He designed our minds. And he knows and he's planned for what we can use those talents for. That's where our calling is. And we need to be listening for that calling. How is God calling me? What is God calling me to do? And constantly be ready to answer that call. And I really, one of my very favorite verses when I think about calling stuff, in fact, I have a little deal I've made this above my desk so I can read it constantly. About, it's from Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. And this is Paul again talking about himself when he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, because at this point he is being held prisoner. But he feels like he's not being held prisoner by the Romans, but he's being held prisoner by God and as he's doing God's will. And he's reaching out to the people, the Christians, the followers of Christ, who he teaches and says, I beseech you, I implore you, I'm asking you, please, walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Whatever your calling is, I want you to walk worthy of that calling with all lowliness. Lowliness means humbling, not all puffed up or anything, but humbling. Doing God's will with all lowliness and gentleness. So we treat people in a gentle manner, even when we are correcting them when they're doing wrong. We still want to do that in a gentle manner, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. So we need to be patient. We need to be patient with those around us and not short tempered. And I'm telling you right now, it's a place where I've fallen. It's hard sometimes for me to be real patient. But that's what God is saying, so I work on that. You know, bearing with one another in love. If we're loving those around us, their shortfalls, we need to be loving with them about that. So, you know, I mess up too. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You know, so we in love, we bear with one another love. And endeavoring and working to keep the unity of the Spirit. So endeavoring and working really hard to keep everybody working together and loving each other in a unified manner, working together towards the same goal. And that goal is a closer walk with Christ, right? And in the bond of peace, we want to be bonded together by the peace of knowing that God is protecting us. He's comforting us. He's encouraging us. He's asking us to move forward for him and be witnesses. That makes sense? Questions or comments? How can you apply this to your week, you think, coming up? Can you apply this to your week coming up? Think about it over the afternoon and stuff like that. How can I apply God's word that we've shared today to my life?
I think I already got it down.
Okay. Well, good for you. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this good day that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word and to share with each other our love of you and our impressions, Lord, of your will in our lives, Lord. And just ask, Lord, to help guide us in the coming week to be able to use your word to help us to be closer to you and to be good witnesses for you. In Jesus' name I pray.